Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn please to the epistle of 2 John. 2 John. I could honestly walk out those doors right back here right now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to shake hands with God's people, fellowship with God's people. Good to hear the good singing. The Lord has something on my heart this morning from the Word of God, and I want to try to get it across if I can. Something really that I hadn't noticed before. It's something that I knew. You remember I think it was in the book of Psalms, the Bible said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." How many believe that? Forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But I had never caught this before. Look in verse number 1. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." Look at verse 2. "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth." Where's the truth this morning? Where's the truth? In us. Every born-again believer, Brother Thurman, has the truth dwelling in them. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." The Bible said, "Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come," isn't it good to know we have the truth dwelling in us? Now watch the last part of that verse. "And shall be with us," how long? Boy, I like that. It'll be with us forever. I'd go ahead and fall in love with my Bible while you're down here, because over yonder, amen, it's going to be a wonderful time around the throne of God. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I write a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. If correctly read, that's the first 6 verses. Pray with us, please, and pray for us this morning. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, this morning for your precious people, for the testimonies, our Father, that we've had the privilege to enjoy this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that in these next few moments, God, we could say something that would be both a blessing to your people and a challenge, our Father, to those who don't know you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, that we might seek you this morning with our whole heart. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us enough voice, our Father, to get through the message today. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, just come down among us. Lord, if you don't do the work, nothing will be done. I pray, God, you'd do the work. I pray for my brother, Brother J.W. I pray for Brother Brent, Lord. The chief told me he'd been accepted, Lord, for the study drug down at MD Anderson. I pray for my brother, for his family. I pray, Lord, for Brother Brian, knowing, Lord, that he's praying for us this morning. And we pray, God, you'd bless him there where he is and keep him, our Father, in this, time of illness. And, Lord, just keep him, Lord, from the illnesses, please, and watch over him, our Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd just bless Brother J.W. today and help him to know, Lord, that he's got some friends in this world. Lord, that somebody loves him and praying for him. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless him and his precious wife. Lord, we ask you now in Jesus' name, visit with us today. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're looking here today for just a moment at the truth that shall be with us forever. The truth that shall be with us forever. I was looking at the the Word of God, and the word truth is mentioned 21 times in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 21 times the word truth is mentioned. And in the Gospel of John, the word truth is mentioned 27 times. The last time the word truth is mentioned in the Bible is in the book of 3rd John. I believe John knew in his heart the importance of the truth. Amen. And I want to give you just three things the Lord put in my heart as I looked at the chapter. Three things quickly that the Lord put in my heart concerning this truth that will be with us forever. The first truth I want to look at that will be with us forever is the truth concerning Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible said here in verse number 3, grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. John made that very plain and very clear that he is the Son of God, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. The Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Jesus wasn't just had a little bit of the truth, but he was full of truth. He was full of truth. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John is writing here, and there's a couple of different ideas here about him saying to the elect lady and her children. This was a time of intense persecution, so he could have been writing kind of in an inconspicuous way so that if the letter got interrupted to the family that it was going to, or it could have been a local assembly that it was going to, the elect lady and her children. That's why he's writing in these terms and not calling names the way that the Apostle Paul many times would tell you exactly, you know, who he was talking about, exactly who his fellow helpers were in the truth. But John is telling us here, first of all, there's a truth concerning Jesus that will be with us forever. Can I tell you, if we got to heaven and there was gates of pearl, And walls of jasper, and streets of pure transparent gold, and my mom was there, and my dad was there, and my mamma was there, and my papa was there, my loved ones, beloved, and even since I've had the privilege to be the pastor of this church, those that God has taken from our midst into his presence, if all of them were there, and Jesus was not there, it wouldn't be heaven. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, I haven't, honey. I know who made it possible for me to rise up from the grave. Amen. I know who made it possible for me to worship him today, for me to honor him with my life today. I know who it is that took me out of nothing and gave me everything. Amen. I know who it is that rescues the perishing and cares for the dying. I know who it is that's merciful this morning, that has grace to bestow upon that lost individual this morning. I know who it is. His name is Jesus. In John chapter 18, Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. In verse 37, before Pilate said, what is truth? Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou then a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am the king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Pilate asked a question, what is truth? And truth was standing right in front of him. All over America today, all around the world today, missionaries will stand and preach the truth of the Word of God. They'll present Jesus dying for sin, buried in a grave, risen the third day, and people will be looking truth right in the eye. And beloved, they'll turn away from the truth and ask, what is truth? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he is the truth, beloved. The Bible said in Matthew 14:33, then they that were with him in the ship came and worshipped him and said, of a truth thou art the Son of God. Do you know him this morning? Is he your Savior this morning? Is he your ticket beyond the grave this morning? Is he your ticket out of this world into the presence of a holy God? Beloved, if he's not, you need to know him. The Bible said God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe this morning, beloved, we see the truth, that we see Jesus is the truth. He's the truth here. He's the truth hereafter. He's the truth forever that will be with us as the children of God. I read this and I thought it was kind of fitting, especially with the news cycle of today. I'm telling you, beloved, it don't matter what side you're on. There's bias, bias, bias everywhere. It's hard for anybody just to present the facts, amen, and let the people make up their mind. But in the early 1900s, this must not be something that's new. George Riddles acquired the sensational London newspaper called The News of the World. Meeting the British journalist Frederick Greenwood one day, Riddell mentioned that he owned a newspaper. He told Greenwood its name and offered to send him a copy. The next time they met, Riddell asked Greenwood what he thought of the news. He said, "Well, I looked at it, and then I put it in the waste paper basket." He said, "Then I thought, I better not leave it there. The cook might get it out and read it, so I burned it." Beloved, I'm telling you, in this world, you don't know what is truth. But I'm glad in that book, we know what is truth. And we know who is truth. Jesus Christ is truth this morning. And he said, the truth will be with you forever. Listen, beloved, the truth does not change. I said the truth does not change. That's why marriage will always be real marriage between a man and a woman. Because the truth does not change, amen? That's why the baby is precious in the sight of the Lord. Because the truth does not change, amen? That's why it's still wrong to steal. Because the truth does not change. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that's one of the reasons that they write a new Bible about every month, because they want to change this or change that. But the truth does not change. The truth forever, O Lord, is settled in heaven. I thank God for the truth, don't you? The truth of the Word of God. The truth concerning Jesus. Let me give you this. Beloved, another truth that does not change, that will be with us forever, and that's the truth concerning justification. The Bible said here, grace be with you. Everybody in this room that got saved the same way. You got saved by the grace of God, by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace be with you, mercy and peace. I'll tell you something. Talking with Brother Beal on Wednesday before he went into the surgery, if I had to describe his demeanor in one word, it would be this: peace. I'm telling you, the man had peace all over him, peace in him. And he said, "Pastor, it's going to be all right either way." Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, there's only one source of peace, and that's knowing the Prince of Peace in the free pardon of sin. And John said here, if you're going to talk about being justified, it's by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. God will give you peace, and it'll come from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you just a couple of things about this truth concerning justification. First of all, we don't deserve it. The Bible said in Genesis 32 and 10, "I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." I'm telling you, beloved, we are not worthy of the truth. We are not worthy of God's salvation. But thank God, amen. Listen, he came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me and offered me his eternal salvation. Beloved, listen, the truth is that it's the Lord that preserves us. I'm not keeping myself. The Bible said, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. I thank God this morning. The truth is going to be with me forever. Not because of what I'm doing for him, but because of what he's doing in me and what he's doing for me this morning. The grace of God. We don't deserve it. It is the Lord that leads us. Lead me in thy truth, the word of God said, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. It is the Lord that put his love in us. The Bible said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Beloved, these are truths. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. It's a precious chapter in the Word of God. At one time I had it committed to memory, but it would take a lot of brushing up to quote it again. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. I want to show you something here that I believe is important for the children of God. Let me ask you something. When you hear about somebody that's struggling, when you hear about somebody, like when I mentioned Holly a while ago, you don't know Holly. But I tell you what I believe. I believe the young'un was genuine. She was crying a river of tears. I said, Holly, are you sure you've been saved? Are you sure? I'm sure, Pastor, I'm sure. I'm sure I've been saved. I'm struggling. Oh, you say, preacher, saved people don't struggle. Where have you been? Amen. Read your Bible. Saved people do struggle. Amen. I'm praying for her because God can help her. When you hear about somebody that's struggling or somebody, let me tell you this. Let me say this. I'm not going to start naming names. When you hear about a church that's struggling, what do? Do you pray? Oh, God, somebody's going to die and go to hell because of the masses that go on in churches. Help us, Lord Jesus. Look what the Bible says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What that's saying right there, Paul, he's the great apostle, the great preacher. He's saying, if I stand before you and I don't love you, might as well just ring a bell and go to thy house. It's empty words. Amen. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity. Look at those words. He said, I am nothing. Now watch this. I'm going somewhere. We're talking about truth that justifies a man. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Watch this next verse. Charity, the love of God, does not rejoice in iniquity. Watch what it does, but it rejoices in the truth. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. Charity does not rejoice in iniquity. Charity rejoices in the truth. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm justified. This truth will be with me forever. And I'm going to rejoice, not in iniquity, mine or anybody else's, but rejoice in the truth. He said, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Boy, we ought to underline that. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. That's one of the reasons your pastor believes that in the book of Acts, when the transition goes from the Jew to the Gentile, the sign gifts go away. God don't want us looking for a sign. He wants us looking in the Scripture, in the Word of God. He doesn't want us looking for a sign. The Bible said the Jews require a sign. God was getting that early church off of the ground, and He gave them signs. Amen. But the Word of God said they're going to cease. They're going to vanish away. He said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, let me tell you what I believe. I'm holding it. Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Watch what he said here. When I was a child, he said, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Hallelujah, the truth will be with us forever. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Little boy over in Wise was riding down the road between his mom and dad in the pickup. He was Jeremy's buddy. His name was Chris. Chris Balthus. They were going down the road and they come on the radio with this advertisement and said, all proceeds will go to charity. And of course, Chris was about 6 years old and the only charity he knew was that one sitting over yonder. He looked at his mom and dad and said, Charity's going to be rich, ain't she? I'm going to tell you what you'll do. You'll be rich if you'll let charity have its way in your heart and in your life. You'll not just be rich for time. You'll be rich for eternity. Because, beloved, Jesus, He'll be with us forever. That truth is never going to change. Then, beloved, listen. The justification that He offers will be with us forever. That truth is never going to change. Look with me back in 1 John, and I'll finish up here this morning. Excuse me, 2 John. 2 John, look at verse number 7, please. The Bible said here, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. I may look at that verse tonight, I'm not sure, but look at verse number 7. Many deceivers are entered into the world. You say, preacher, what else is it that will be with us forever? As the Bible said, the truth. Not only concerning Jesus, not only concerning justification, but the truth concerning judgment. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said in Romans 2:2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. The courts in America, they do the best they can sometimes, and they make mistakes. Say amen. You and I are going to stand before a judge one day after a while that never makes a mistake. Listen to me. Never, ever makes a mistake. He knows who is His child. He knows who is not His child. And I believe with all of my heart, even though there's many deceivers that are gone out into the world, the judgment, beloved, listen, that this Bible teaches, it's not going to change. Let me give you quickly just several things about judgment. The believer's sin was judged at Calvary. Do y'all believe that? Either Jesus' blood takes care of all of our sin that are born again, or we're all in trouble. Somebody help me. Our sin was judged at Calvary. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the judgment of the believer's sin. But what about the judgment of the believer's self? How many believes the Bible teaches we're supposed to judge ourselves? Beloved, listen, that's what communion really, the whole central thing about communion is look in that mirror. Amen? And for something that needs to be fixed, get it before the throne of God and get it fixed. Something that needs to be forsaken, forsake it. Something, beloved, that we need to be doing that we're not doing, then pick up the ball and start doing it. Amen? I was watching the announcements this morning, Brother Steve. I'm going to say this in a very general way, because I sure don't want to point at anything or anybody. But I'm going to tell you, just in those announcements that Brother Steve put up there this morning, there's enough for everybody to get involved. There's somewhere in this ministry for everybody to be involved. And I want to say this morning. If your heart gets cold, it ain't no wonder if you ain't involved. Love will do something for your feet. It'll cause you to act. Amen? And do what you can for the glory of God. We need to judge. The Bible, you remember over in Psalms, David is repenting. And he said, "Behold, thou desirest truth." Where at? In the inward part. See, God's not looking at the outward part. He's looking at the inward part. And I'm not one of them preachers that says the outward part don't matter, because it do. Because God's looking at the inward part, but everybody else looking at the outward part. And the outward part ought to be a reflection of the inward part. The Bible said we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The judgment of ourselves. What about this? What happens when Jesus comes? Where are the believers going? Does anybody know? We're going to the judgment seat of Christ. You say, "Preacher, don't you think that'll change?" Nope, never going to change. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. Listen, we're going to be... If you could separate the two judgments like this, it would help you. The great white throne judgment is for lost people. And lost people are going to be judged according to their works. You're looking at a pastor that believes there are degrees of punishment in hell. The Word of God said many deceivers. I believe, Brother Steve, that person that stood in front of groups of people and deceived them, I believe his punishment will be hotter, because they're going to be judged according to their works. But the believer is not judged according to his works. What did the Bible say? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. But the believer is rewarded. Those are two totally different words. The lost man is judged according to his works. If I had to be judged according to my works today, I'm headed to hell. But I'm not going to be judged according to my works. My sin was judged at Calvary. But I am going to be rewarded according to my works. God said, "What I'm going to do, I'm going to take your works and you're going to pass through the fire." And when they pass through the fire, he said, on the other side, some of it's going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. What happens to wood, hay, and stubble in a fire? It goes up in smoke. What happens to gold and silver and precious stones in a fire? It just purifies them. So it's very important. Listen, for every born-again believer, listen to me. Not only that you do the right thing, but that you do it for the right reason. Because one day the reason will come out as to why we served the Lord. The judgment seat of Christ. The Bible talks about the judgment of the nations. But then the Bible talks about the judgment of the wicked dead, or the great white throne judgment. Why were they cast into hell? Because their name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why was their name not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because they missed the truth concerning Jesus. Everybody in heaven has one thing in common, at least one thing, and that is they They all received Christ as their Savior. Everybody in hell has one thing in common, at least one thing. They all rejected Christ as their Savior. John, the pastor John, he loved his people. He loved the church. He said, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Brother Ralph, I don't know if you thought about it or not, but you want to know why Brother J.W. still wants to preach? Because the truth's still dwelling in him. Brother Larry's been sick, Sister Jane, for a long time. But I don't care who God's men are. God's men want to preach. They desire to preach the Word of God. I tell you, I hope if the day comes I can't stand up, somebody will wheel me in somewhere. I think about, I can't remember his name, Miss Eve, a man that lost both of his legs, honey, in the military. He stepped on a landmine. You remember his name? Tim Lee. Thank you, Miss Eve. Brother Tim Lee. And it got a little stump on both sides, but I've seen him in that wheelchair. He gets the preaching. He's kind of like Brother Brian with his hands. He's got to use his hands. He talks with his hands. And he'll take that little stump and lift it up and hold his Bible right there in his wheelchair. Then he'll lift that stump up and get his Bible out, read some more, put it right back there and hold it down. Yes, in a wheelchair. I've seen him get on his arms, Brother Steve, and walk the pews. Because there's nothing hanging below the pew. He can just walk the pew on his arms, walk right back through there on the pew. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say, if the truth is in us, we ought to want to get it out of us. Somebody needs the truth. Somebody needs Jesus. The truth concerning Jesus. The truth concerning justification. The truth concerning judgment. Once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts, they saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. What did he find? Asked the cohort. A piece of the truth, the devil replied. The cohort said, doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth? No, said the devil. I'll see to it that he makes a religion out of it. That's where we're at in this world. A whole lot of people have a piece. Let me tell you something. You can't get a piece of Jesus. You either get Jesus or you don't. You can't have a piece of the Bible. That's why I don't like it when people just go through and pick and choose. I don't like it when the Bible lays there for months upon end, and then all of a sudden there's a trial, and now we'll get the Bible out. The Bible is good all the time. This morning the truth is in us, and the truth will be with us. The Word of God said, forever. That blesses me to know that when I get ready to cross the river, I'll cross it with the truth. And it'll be there on the other side of the river. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing it is. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you, Lord, for saving us and giving us, our Father, a place to share the truth of Thy Word. I pray this morning, Lord, that You'd comfort our hearts together, Lord, especially the McCrary family. Lord, I pray for Brother Rusty this morning, my dear friend, Lord, Brother Bill's son, and Mark, Sister Beth. God, I pray that You would help them this morning. Touch them, our Lord. Comfort them as only You can. Lord, right here in this service, there's somebody that needs Christ, somebody that needs to be born again, born from above. Lord, I pray that individual would not wait, but Lord, that they would trust you today. God, that you would speak to their heart. Lord, that you'd be so kind as to, Lord, just go by where they're sitting. And Lord, let them know how much you love them. Let them know, Lord, that your love was not just words, but it was proven on an old rugged cross. Pray, Lord, this morning you'd bless in this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Ralph, if you'd get us a song this morning.